The day has finally come where I defend a movie. Ray, are you ready?
I was born ready.
Welcome to the Cinema Bros Podcast, and as you just heard, it is the first time that I will be defending a movie that we are debating. And what a movie it is. I will be debating against Ray. Ray, would you like to tell the audience what movie we are debating today? This comedic masterpiece, Ray.
I don't know if I would call it a masterpiece. I would just call it Paul Blart Mall Cop. And honestly, Tyler, out of all the movies you could have picked to defend, this is probably the worst one you could have picked.
I completely disagree, and you will see why shortly. But before that, we must introduce our moderator, Luke. Hello.
What is up, everybody?
Would you like to give the audience a quick rundown of how this debate is going to go before it gets started?
So yeah, so like they were saying, Tyler and Ray are going to be debating Paul Blart Mall Cop. Tyler, of course, in defense of the movie. Ray, of course, against the movie. So this is going to be structured like our typical debates are, which means that we, of course, start with the opening argument, and then we go into three distinct rounds. We got the writing round, then the directing round, and the acting round, and Tyler and Ray will each finish off with their closing thoughts in the closing argument round. And, of course, I will pick a winner after that. So, guys, I'm very excited about this one. I think this is the most excited I've been about a debate because I want to hear Tyler defend the movie. Like he was saying, it's the first time he's done that. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. But before we get into the actual debate, Ray, I understand you've done some homework. Would you like to tell us about it?
Yes, I know you and Luke were both giving me suggestions the other night, and I went with my gut. It was like 12 in the morning.
It was.
12, 1.
Yep.
So I went with my gut. I went on Vudu and I rented Kingsman: The Golden Circle. The first Kingsman, I love. Honestly, maybe top 15, top 20 for me.
Oh, dude.
Great film.
It was in my top 10 for years.
I remember it. When I first started working at the theater, you told me it was in your early, like, when I first met you, that was like one of the movies you talked about.
Yeah, dude, that is the best theater experience I've ever had in a movie theater.
The action scenes are done so well in those movies.
Dude, the church scene kills me, man.
That's one of the greatest seats I've probably ever seen.
Right.
I'll say that.
Right.
I'll say it.
Yeah.
And the second one, it was just meh. I mean, it has its moments. I wouldn't say it lived up anything anywhere near to the first one.
Yeah, I agree.
It has its moments. I think Channing Tatum was kind of a cool character. I know he gets hate as an actor sometimes, but his character was cool and they didn't utilize him enough. He was passed out majority of the movie because he had He had like the blue virus, like the virus that was going around with the drug cartel.
Oh, Corona?
Corona? We'll call it. That's not what it was, but similar.
We've got the King's Man. The King's Man comes out at some point.
September.
I forgot about that. Times.
September.
September.
I think.
Isn't that based on just Harry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Harry's the best character, so.
Yeah, he was. I agree. But Luke, do you want to cue us into the debate?
All right. So we're going to go ahead and get started with the debate. Of course, we have the opening argument first. So, fellas, which one of you all would like to go first?
I would like to go first, if that's okay with you, Ray.
That is fine with me, Tyler. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So somebody at some point has said that comedy is subjective. I don't know who. Probably somebody has. If no one has, well, I just said it. So comedy is subjective. So some people in the audience might be wondering how we can debate a comedy movie. Because what other people find funny, you may not find funny. And vice versa. Well, I personally love Paul Blart Mall Cop. It is one of the funniest movies I have ever seen. I'm not being ironic. I thought going into this debate that it might be one of those movies that I was blinded by the nostalgia of having watched it when I was a kid. But I rewatched it yesterday and I still laughed as hard now as a 21-year-old that I did when I was like 9 and I watched it in theaters. It is that good. I imagine that Ray is going to, at some point in his argument, talk about how cliche it is and how campy it is. But I love that about it. And honestly, I don't even think it's that cliched. For those that haven't watched it, it tells the story of Paul Blart He is a mall security guard or officer, as just to, you know, give credence to the debate that's portrayed in the movie. He's a mall security guard slash officer, and he just goes about his daily business, and he's extremely lonely. So at the start of the movie, his mom and daughter sign him up for a, like, date matching service. It doesn't get any matches, so he just gets more depressed. Then he meets a pretty girl at the mall, falls in love. Spoiler alert, the mall gets invaded by thieves, essentially, who lock everything down, take hostages, and Paul has to save the day, and he does so wonderfully. We'll get more into the nitty-gritty of why I love this movie in the writing round and subsequent rounds, but I just want to say that it takes a special kind of movie to be funny at all ages when you watch it, and to still be funny like 11 years after it first came out. And Paul Blart does that for me. Our last actual podcast episode was on Forrest Gump, and that was between me and Luke, and I lost that. But Luke's big argument in that debate was that Forrest Gump is just a feel-good, family-friendly movie with a main character that you just wanted to root for and that you wanted things to go well for. And I think Paul Blart is that same kind of character. You know, he is portrayed as the ultimate underdog who keeps getting underestimated by every single character in the film. And then at the end, he proves all of them wrong. And it is one of the most satisfying conclusions to a character arc I have ever seen in a movie. Ray, I turn the floor over to you.
You know, Tyler, you say that it's a true underdog story, but most movies are that way, you know. In any movie, you're going to want to root for the main character. And I think that in this movie, it doesn't do as good of a job as it would in any other movie. I think that other movies do it better, but that's all I'll say for your argument as a counter. I'll open my opening argument with saying that Paul Blart Mall Cop is a good movie. It's not a good movie. That would ruin my argument if I just said that.
It has a chance. Tyler's the winner.
It has a chance to be a good movie, but it ultimately failed. For me, this movie fails to take itself seriously. I mean, I know that it is a comedy movie and it's not supposed to take itself seriously. But I think that the number one rule for movies is that you have to take yourself seriously, to me. And, you know, for what I mean by this is that the movie honestly looks like it was thought up and put together in a week. You know, it looks like there was no serious work that actually went into making this movie. Looks like there's no emotion, no passion. It was just put together to make some money. And for me, that's just why this movie is not there for me. It's not it. There are many other comedies that I would much rather watch above this. And I'll close my opening argument with that.
Whoa, Ray. Why do you, and you may have to get into this in later rounds, but why do you think that this movie doesn't let you root for the main character as much as others do?
I didn't say it that way. I said that other movies do it better.
Okay. I'll leave it there.
Okay. So, guys, this is a good opening argument. Now we will get into the writing round. Tyler, since you started us off in the opening argument round, we're going to have Ray start us off now. So, Ray, go ahead.
Okay. So, I have a lot of notes for the writing round, and I'm not usually good in the writing round, so I'm going to try to win this writing round. I put a lot of work into this writing round. So I'll open up my writing argument with saying that 15 minutes into this movie, I knew it was going to happen. As soon as the new guy was hired, I knew that he was going to be the main role, the main antagonist at the end. It's predictable. I mean, it is a comedy. You can't expect it to be much of a better twist, but still, that is a very, you can tell what's going to happen. And another thing I'll say is that the jokes in this movie, to me, they're just so immature. I think that they're all overdone and extra. And honestly, when I was rewatching it earlier, I didn't laugh one time watching the movie. I know that's a little harsh. I know you may think I'm over-exaggerating to help my argument, but I really didn't. There's a scene at the beginning that the writers threw in there, and it's literally Bart running over a dog with his Segway. And I don't know how that's supposed to be funny, but I didn't find it funny. The jokes that are written in this movie, they're mainly, I don't want to sound mean or offensive to anyone, but they're fat jokes. And I feel like the whole movie's written on that and just immature, stupid jokes for kids or like early teenagers to laugh at. And for me, I just want something more mature, like a Seth Rogen comedy or a Jonah Hill comedy.
A Seth Rogen comedy is more mature than this?
Yes. I would say it's levels more mature than this. That's how immature this comedy is.
Really?
Yes. Also want to add that the mall robbery is honestly such a confusing scene. You don't, honestly, when I was watching it, I really like, at one moment he's got like four guys left, the next moment he's got seven, or there's just so much confusing stuff going on. And I think that that may be more of directing, but I'll get into that later. Also want to add, his daughter shows up. This drove me crazy. Why did his daughter show up at the mall at the end of the robbery? You know what I'm talking about, Tyler.
You had to bring him his lunch.
The whole police, there's a whole police border around the mall, and the mall is in the middle of like a huge robbery, and she just walks in. You know it's stupid.
Hey, no, you never know. She could have been in the mall before.
It's just a cop out.
You're a cop out.
It's a mall cop out.
Paul, I will say.
Sorry, I had to do it.
Paul didn't need any more motivation in that situation. He already had, what's the girl's, I don't even remember the
name.
Amy. He already had Amy there. Why did his daughter need to be there to motivate him anymore?
That's fair.
That was stupid to put her there. You know, I could nitpick at the writing all day, but I'll turn it over to you. I have more notes, but I'll turn it over to you and let you speak some.
All right. Well, in direct contrast to everything Ray just said, I think I disagree with every word that just came out of his mouth. Like Ray, I also rewatched this recently, and I laughed just as hard as I did when I was 10 years old. I think the writing in this movie is so solid. I have some lines written down because I was like texting it to my girlfriend as I was watching it. And I was crying at some of the lines. Like, I'm just going to read some of these off here. I didn't say we were together. I said she's into leather. That line killed me. Never been a wild card unless you consider Uno a wild game.
Okay, that's good.
And my personal favorite, you and what army? He has an army. Likes morning rain, walks on the beach. Who are you, Olivia Newton-John? These are just some of the lines in this movie that just killed me when I was watching it. This movie is not a long movie. It's only like an hour and 20 minutes.
And it feels so much longer than that.
Well, see, I actually disagree. I think it feels like perfect. Like, I wouldn't make it any shorter, and I wouldn't make it any longer. I think it makes the best use of its time on the screen as it possibly could. You know, there's really not a lot of story there other than just setting up Paul's character and then the actual mall robbery itself. But it doesn't need to do more than that, man. It establishes within the first, like, 20 minutes or so of the movie that Paul is just this, like, loner loser, basically. Who, like, you really just want to see things go well for because you begin to feel sorry for him. And then when he finally gets his chance to be a hero, he just, like, completely owns the situation and beats everyone that was underestimating him. And it's such a feel-good story. I felt like, obviously, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say that there were not cliches or campiness in this movie, because obviously there were. The beautiful 10 out of 10 love interest who has no interest in him at the start and getting together at the end, etc. His daughter conveniently showing up in the middle of a mall robbery, etc., etc. The villain being the person we thought was his friend. The double twist at the end where it showed that actually wasn't the thing that happened.
And to add to that double twist, the double twist just makes the movie for me stretched out so much longer than it needed to be. The ending robbery scene is just stretched out for, it feels like a whole hour long of the movie. It just feels like it's that whole part. And it just keeps going on for longer and longer. When in only reality, the movie's only an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
But I will let you continue.
So I would actually go to say that the double twist at the end where it's revealed that the SWAT commander is the true villain is actually symbolic in its purpose. It shows that Paul has finally defeated the part of himself that everyone just considered him a loser. Because obviously he went to high school with the kid, so that kind of represents his childhood growing up being bullied and stuff like that. So I love that double twist.
I think that it would have been more impactful had the character that bullied him, I think his name's like Commander Kent or something stupid like that. Yeah. I think that had he been in the movie more prior to just that end robbery scene, it would have been more impactful. But because he's only in there and, oh, he just showed up. Oh, he's randomly the commander. Oh, he randomly went to high school with Paul Blart and he's randomly a bully of him. Like, to me, that's just, I think he needed to be there more throughout the movie.
And Ray, let me ask you, do you like Home Alone?
Yes, I do love that. I literally am going to talk about Home Alone in my argument.
Okay, because like this movie uses things that were in Home Alone and it's so good. Like, I just love that, man. Like the entire scene where he is in like the hockey gear shop and when he's like in the Rainforest Cafe, all that, I just love. Like, it's just, it creates such an atmosphere of just good times. And because this is an Adam Sandler produced comedy, you know things are going to end up okay at the end. That's just how all these movies are. But I just loved the journey of getting there. Like, I loved seeing it all unfold. And I was laughing so hard the entire time. And I didn't even mention the Indian boyfriend that Paul talks to on the phone during the film.
Who should not have been in the movie.
Oh, I completely disagree. He made the movie. And this could just be because I have an Indian as one of my best friends. But he reminded me of him so much. And I was in hysterical laughter in all of his scenes. Like, in a comedy, like, you know, there's a bunch of comic relief. But that guy, I think his name was like Punjab or something like that, was the ultimate comic relief character. And I loved it, man. Loved it.
Okay, can I bring up a scene real quick?
Yeah.
The scene when Paul literally squirts, the movie could have ended right there when he squirts the bottle, which is miraculous. I don't know how he squirted that one little tiny drop of hot sauce in his eye, but he did. The movie could have ended right there. But
yeah, but then it would have been nearly as satisfying.
I mean, that could have been a very satisfying, funny.
We had a car chase at the end, Ray.
With the high school bully who was just introduced 15 minutes prior, who later turns on to be a double cross villain that we've only known for 15 minutes.
Now, listen, I don't know. I would have to go back and time it. So, like, I'm not sure. But that guy, he was in there for more than 15 minutes. He was there for, like, the large majority of the movie.
He probably has less screen time than 15 minutes, actually.
I mean, yeah, that's probably, I would argue that. That's true. But, like, still, you know who he is.
Are you talking about the commander of the SWAT team?
SWAT team.
Okay, I got you. Because there's really two double cross villains in this.
Yeah.
You got the guy who he's working with, who's like the new guy that he's kind of training, and you think they're buddies, and you got the SWAT guy. Okay, I was getting a little confused because it sounded like you all were talking about the same person, but okay, I got you.
I actually think I've said all I have to say about the writing round. You know, as you said, comedy is subjective, so like I can't speak to the validity of the jokes or anything, but all the jokes just killed me. I thought all the comedic timing was perfect. I thought the writing was super tight. I don't think it could have been any shorter or longer. I think it was perfectly written. Yeah, like, I don't think the cliches or the campiness, like, ruined it at all. I think it made it better, actually. But that's all I have to say about the writing.
Okay, anything else to add, Ray?
I'm ready to go. I'm good.
Okay. All right, guys, it was a solid writing round for this debate. Really enjoyed that. Gives me a lot to think about on deciding the winner of this debate. But before I do that, we, of course, are moving into the directing round. So, Tyler, I will have you go ahead and start this round.
Yeah, sure. I feel like Ray is going to, like, try to say that, you know, the directing is bad because he got confused at some points. Like, he couldn't follow the story as well. Or he just got confused at the parts. But I think the directing was actually fairly solid for a movie like this. Like, you would not expect, like, an Adam Sandler-produced comedy made in, like, 2009, obviously to appeal to, like, the younger generation, to have, like, even competent directing. But I actually thought the directing was pretty good in this movie. I'm not gonna lie. Like I said during the writing round, like, the writing, directing, and acting all just kind of ties together perfectly in this movie. Like I said, I think every moment is utilized perfectly in a scene. Like, I don't feel like there is anything that is just kind of ham-fisted in there for the audience to extend the runtime at all. I think everything is placed perfectly. All the props and, like, blocking in the scene is done perfectly. Not gonna lie, there are some, like, shots and things in the movie that I'm like, that's a fairly good shot. Like, there was one part at the end where he is fighting Rudolph and they go through the sky roof and land in the ball pit. That's such a good
scene. Is so stupid,
but Tyler. It's so good, Ray.
He literally gets up out of the ball pit on his Segway,
and I was dying laughing, Ray. Dying laughing. Like that scene, it was such a well done stunt, and like with Kevin James, obviously, like, you know, he can't do many stunts, but that was such a good one. I thought the cinematography, that entire scene was so cool, with like the slow motion and then like the balls rising. And like, it was obvious that he was going to like come up from the balls, but I did not expect it to happen the way that it did. I just loved it. And you know, the effects were pretty cool, like with the explosion in the Rainforest Cafe, pretty solid and all of that. And like I said, I think the director just does a very, very competent job in a movie like this. I feel like he really like respects the type of movie that he's making. Like, he doesn't try to be too serious with it, which I know Ray was talking about earlier. Like, he doesn't try to be serious about it. Like, there are perfectly serious moments in it where like you're learning Paul's kind of tragic backstory, but for most of it, I think the director just kind of uses what he has and just rolls with it.
Backstory.
His wife left him to get a green card.
Yeah. Okay. That's not very tragic to me.
Well, that's unfortunate, right?
That sounds pretty bad. I mean,
he should have seen it coming.
Ray.
Okay, Ray. That is fair. Okay, that's fair.
Ray, have you never been in a relationship where like it hasn't ended how you thought it would?
I mean, yeah.
And were you not devastated?
But I won't put myself in that type of relationship.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Or I'm in that kind of a position to get screwed that bad.
Well, sure. But, you know, blinded by love. I think we can all, like, we all can understand that.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's all for my opening, like, director round. I think he just really respects the type of movie he was making. I feel like there are some, like, standout scenes that just really demonstrated his talent. And I thought that he did a good job of, like, tying the writing and directing and acting all together really well.
Okay, Tyler, so is that the end of your directing segment?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Ray, so let's hear from you now.
So basically, everything Tyler just said is wrong. I mean, I'm just kidding. I mean, anyone can take this movie any way they want it. This is just the way I take it. This movie just, to me, feels as it has no sense of direction at all. I mean, I feel that truly the director just went out there, had a one take done at Kevin James doing something stupid, and then going and saying, all right, this is fine. We only need one take on this. We don't need to do this again. To me, that's just what the whole movie feels like. Like, it just feels so poorly directed, poorly done. He has a whole entire mall. Like, you were talking about the Rainforest Cafe and all those scenes being cool. Yeah. Sure, those scenes are kind of cool, but he has all of these stores, the entire mall that he could have explored. He has this whole Home Alone with a mall thing he's going on. It's such a cool idea, and I just don't think that he executed it good enough, and I don't think that he explores all of his options enough.
Well, Ray, you said the movie already felt too long. Imagine if he like went around the entire mall setting up traps.
I think that could have made the movie cooler for me, though. Maybe I wouldn't have thought it was too long then.
Really?
Yeah.
Fair.
But me, when I was watching it the whole time, I wanted him to explore some of those other areas in the mall more. You know, instead of seeing him in a vent for 20 minutes or seeing him in a back hallway that it's just a back hallway when we can see him in a store or something.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. I feel like there's always going to be like another area of a movie that like you could have explored, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't feel like that was really a problem in this movie personally.
Well, I kind of did.
Fair enough.
Another problem I have with it is that the director just throws random characters in there at times who we've never been introduced to. Like, for a couple of them, I will give you a couple of examples. One of the funny parts of the movie is supposed to be him in a bar getting drunk. It's supposed to be a funny part of the movie, and he's having an eating contest with two guys who we've never met before, who have, you know, a little bit of dialogue in the scene, and we've never met him. Also,
are you talking about the black
commander?
Guy?
Not the black guy, but the other guy that's with him, who's the judge of the contest, who we don't even know.
Oh, yeah. And he's the one that gives him the phone.
See, I mean, I don't even know who he is. I didn't even know that.
But, like, Ray, like, Come on, he's at a work party.
Let me give you more.
You can assume that these people are all his coworkers.
That's not one of my best examples.
Okay.
He puts characters in the wrong places at the wrong time, like throwing his daughter in the inn. That's a good example. When he puts his daughter at the mall at the inn, his daughter didn't need to be there. Paul's character already had enough motive to want to beat the bad guys because of Amy. That's just added time to the movie that we could have been exploring the storage or exploring something cooler that we have to show screen time for his stupid daughter, honestly, that none of us really want to see being there. And in the first place, we just want to see Paul and Amy.
Well, you could argue that Maya, I think is her name, acts like a surrogate for Paul in those scenes because she's the one that, you know, tells Amy how much he likes her and everything. And so she sets up the get-together.
Personally,
at the end.
I think that I could tell that she liked Paul from the beginning of the movie. That didn't need to happen.
Really?
Yeah, because I think that from the first conversation she had with Paul, I think she liked Paul personally. I think she shows interest because when the other guy walks up, she like acts disgusted. And
well, yeah.
But you could argue that, but personally,
I
think
you can frame it either way. That's just a matter of opinion.
I think that his daughter, that was just stupid directing that his daughter was there, but whatever.
All right. Ray, you have anything else?
I feel like I've said a pretty good piece about the directing.
Okay. So that wraps up the directing round. Now we're going to get into the acting round. So, Ray, you go ahead.
Okay. I don't have acting. I probably have the least to say because there's not a lot of acting in this movie. I will say that Kevin James is probably one of the least funny people in Hollywood.
No.
He's made a whole career off of fart jokes and eating jokes literally in every movie he's been in, including this one. And I think that the actors just have no clue how to deliver their lines in this, you know.
What?
In a comedy, I think that you can literally alter the way your audience thinks or make your audience laugh just by the way you deliver your line. And I don't think that the actors did that in this movie. And for example, I'll give a couple actors who, you know, just deliver lines in funny ways. Seth Rogen or Jonah Hill, just sometimes the way they deliver their lines in movies, it just makes me laugh. Not just because the line's funny, just because of the way that they deliver it, their tone of voice, the way that they're acting. And I don't think that type of acting is there in this movie, or really any acting at all. I just think that the actors don't want to be here. They're just here to make a paycheck, say a couple of stupid jokes that the writers made, and get on with their lives. And that's really all I'll have to say about the acting in this.
Okay, Tyler, so we move to you now.
Man, I just completely disagree. Like, I completely disagree. I thought the acting was really good. And I think we fundamentally disagree with Kevin James. I think he's really funny, personally. I like a lot of his stuff. I thought all the actors played their parts so well. You know, obviously, like I said, yeah, there are some cliches. There are some campiness. That's going to sound wank with any of the actors, but I thought that for the most part their line delivery was so solid. You know, in comedy films, I'm a big fan of comedic timing and like being able to time your delivery of lines perfectly, and I think Kevin James especially did such a good job of that. Like, there are times he just made me laugh just by like watching his face, because I could tell that he was just waiting for the right time to deliver the line. And when he did, it was just flawless delivery. Yeah, like, I loved it. And I thought all like the supporting characters did their roles so well. Like I said, like earlier, I know, Ray, you said you didn't like the Indian boyfriend at all. But I thought, like, is his caricature racist? Probably. But I was dying the entire time he was on the screen. He was killing me with his comedic delivery and just the lines he said. You know, his daughter was really good. I loved like the whole scene.
His daughter was really good. Did you really just say that?
Yeah, I liked her a lot. I think she's a really talented
actress.
You're
literally lying.
No. You're just wrong, Ray. You're just wrong.
His daughter has a few lines in this movie and they're all just, she literally sounds like Dora trying to talk to the map.
Oh.
Oh, wow. That's,
like I said,
it's just like, I mean, that's what it is. They're not any, it's nothing special.
Well, like I said, I just disagree. But I thought all of the supporting characters were really good. I loved the scene where like the two police command, like the mall officer and like the police officer, are, like trying to come up with lines to get like to use against the SWAT officer. I thought that was great. And just like little scenes like that, they just like the individual acting talents of his characters. I just thought I loved, like I really just loved. Yeah, I thought, I didn't think there was like a single bad acting performance in this movie. I thought they were all like believable, honestly. Like they all fit the characters that they played. And to
I think
perfection,
they overplayed. I mean, in a comedy, you're supposed to kind of overplay your character, but I think they overplayed it to a max.
I mean, I don't think they necessarily overplayed it at all. Like, I don't think that any of them were that overplayed. Like, you can maybe argue that Paul was, but he was just like maximizing the like type of character that he played. Like, it didn't bother me at all. Like,
I wanted to mention in the previous rounds.
Yeah,
at the end of this movie, Paul literally gets his chance to be like state policeman that he's been grinding to be this entire movie, and literally turns it down to be a mall cop still.
But like, you just say that like he's realized what's actually important to him.
Yeah, like, you could say that. That is true, but I think it would have been a little bit cooler if they did it the other way, if he would have just accepted the job.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think Tristan said it best in the 2001 episode. Like, we can debate what could have happened in the movie all we want, but then we're debating what actually happened in the movie.
Yeah.
And I thought the fact that he stayed to be a mall cop showed an extinction of his character. Like,
it does something to his already bad character.
It adds a little goodness to it, right?
Adds a little bit of goodness to a terrible character.
Oh.
Okay, right, guys. Well, so do y'all have anything else to say about the acting?
I do not.
Okay. So that wraps up our segment part of the rounds. Now, of course, we're going to go to the last part of the debate, which is the closing argument. And since Ray started the acting round off first, we're going to have Tyler start off the closing argument. So, Tyler, go ahead.
You know, just to sum my feelings on everything up, you could argue that I've just repeated myself a lot. I really love the movie, that it made me laugh. But, like, that's all you want from a comedy movie. A comedy movie is not supposed to be this big, complex, like, narrative-driven movie. You know, it's just there to make you laugh, really. And obviously there are some comedies that are more mature, if you will, like, with their humor and everything. But that's not what this movie was trying to be. And I think we have to judge it for what it is. And I think it is a very solidly acted, solid-directed, masterfully written comedic film. It, to me, as the title of this video suggests, a comedic masterpiece. It's one of my favorite comedies. I love it. I love it 10 years after it came out. That's just how good this movie is. Like, I think the director takes it very seriously. I think the writing is great, with the jokes delivering perfectly. The acting, I thought, is extremely solid. They play all their characters so well. And that's all I have to say about my closing argument.
Okay, thank you, Tyler. It's a good closing argument. Now, Ray, we'll let you finish us off.
Well, Tyler, one of your main arguments there in the closing was that if we look at this movie the way it is, it's a good movie. But if we look at any movie the way that they are, it's going to end up being a good movie just because we're looking at it for itself.
Oh, no.
I'm looking at this movie as a comedy movie. And okay, as a comedy movie, it just fails so horribly. It doesn't deliver the jokes. It had great potential. It was a good comedy that took place in a mall, and it had that little Home Alone vibe going with it. But the jokes just weren't written well enough. The director doesn't execute with his material. Cast is terrible, in my opinion. And, you know, I'm a casual movie watcher, and this sounds like an ideal movie that I would enjoy to watch, but it's at the bottom of the totem pole for comedy movies for me, and it's really just the last of the comedies that I would want to watch. There's many Adam Sandler comedies that I would even watch before I would watch this. I would much rather turn my brain off and watch something that's actually funny, opposed to actually watching this. But that's what I'll close with.
I just want to add real quick that, you know, he said that, you know, if you judge any movie for what it is, then it's going to be good. Well, I disagree with that. You know, he judges as a comedy movie. Yeah, sure. Like we said earlier, comedy is subjective. So, like, if you didn't like the jokes, then that's fine. But I feel like you're being too harsh and judging it just a little harshly, in my opinion.
I don't agree with you, because I don't judge movies in a harsh way, because I like many Adam Sandler movies that are you know, in a sense, kind of like this movie, kind of have some of the same humor. But to me, it was the delivery, it was the writing, the directing, everything. Just it wasn't there for me in this movie that all those other movies lack.
I'll give it over to Luke. Let him make the final decision then.
Okay. Thank you, guys. It's been a very good debate, a much more close debate than I originally thought going into it.
So
with all that being said, and with them finished talking, we are going to go ahead and get into the winner of this debate. Now, of course, like we normally do, I will break down the winner round for round, and then at the end, make my decision. So to start us off with the opening argument, I think Tyler had a pretty swift victory in this category.
Solid.
I think that his enthusiasm really stood out. I really enjoyed his argument about comedy being subjective, and I'll get more into that later on. But when he first started talking about it, I enjoyed his argument. I think he brought up several good points, and I'll be honest with you, Ray, I was not really into your opening argument, just to be honest with you. But with that being said, I think Ray won the writing round.
You lost your mind.
Is that my first ever time winning a writing round?
I think so.
I told you all was going hard.
He doesn't win writing rounds. That's a thing.
That's the thing. Well, that is the thing, Tyler, is that I had pretty much pegged you to win this round, but before we started the debate, but I think Ray really impressed me this round. I think, and Ray, the reason you lost the opening argument is simply because I think you saved a lot of your points and your examples and what you had to say for this round. And like, I feel like your opening argument would have been a little bit better if you had explored those a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with that being said, I think in this round, at least, it paid off for you. So, yeah, you won the writing round. So pat yourself on the back with your first writing round victory. So
thank you, Lucas.
Yep. No problem. So with that being said, like I said, this was a very close debate. And I think that the directing round goes to Tyler.
Yeah.
I think that Tyler actually gave me a new perspective on the director of this movie. And, you know, I'm kind of like the movie facts guy. Like, I know who like directed what and who stars in what. That's kind of like my thing. I have all kinds of useless movie knowledge. And I'll be honest with you, this is the first time we've talked about a movie where I couldn't tell you the director's name. And I know that's kind of unusual for me, but I mean, do either you guys know the name of the guy who this?
I looked it up earlier. Steve Carr. I don't even remember it.
Who?
Steve Carr, who directed Daddy Daycare, which I also love.
Okay, so I don't like Daddy Daycare, but I do think that with the material he had in the script, which, you know, to be fair, like Ray said, wasn't that strong, I think that he did the best he could with it. And I think Tyler gave me a new perspective on the directing, and it made me appreciate his efforts more. And the directing in comedy movies has, and editing and all that stuff has a large effect into how enjoyable the comedy is. So I think Tyler won the directing round. Again, Ray, you did a lot better in this round than you did your opening argument, which I thought was a weak showing for you. But this round you did really good, and you almost won me over. This was probably the closest round for me. So with that being said, to move into the acting round, and like I said, this is a close debate, and the winners of each round keep switching back and forth because Ray won the acting round for me.
Gosh, I hate doing this. I feel like every time I'm in a debate, it literally goes down to the last round.
How?
I'm sorry. Tyler, I feel like a lot of your responses and a large segment of your argument in this round was basically talking about, you know, your feelings for this movie and that you, you know, find it enjoyable. But to say that they like masterfully deliver their lines, I don't think so. I mean, I think the acting is serviceable. And I think Ray, I will agree.
You are judging based off your own bias.
I'm not. That's not true. So I do enjoy this movie, but I feel like, Ray, I do agree with you that I feel like Kevin James has had a large – he is a funny guy. And his stand-up, I'm sure not a lot of people have listened to his stand-up because that's not really what he's known for. He's more known for movies and television. But his stand-up is really funny. So I disagree with Ray in the sense that I think he's a very funny guy. I just think a lot of the movies that he is in do not have very strong scripts. So I feel like Ray said, he has built a lot of his career on movies that are essentially fat jokes and fart jokes and gross out humor. So, and Ray brought up a lot of good points with the acting and a lot of the weaknesses of it. So I feel like Ray took this round. So, okay. With that being said, We're tied right now, so I won't ask for a drum roll. I feel like we've done that before, and it was kind of awkward because you couldn't really hear the drums. So I will just go. I will just go ahead and say it. Ray won.
No,
let's go. Yes, yes.
And Ray, essentially the closing argument, like I said, Tyler, I feel like a lot of your feelings for this movie and how much you enjoy it kind of took up a lot of your closing argument. And it was essentially a lot of saying that you like this movie without providing evidence as to why you like it. And I trust me, your enthusiasm made this debate very entertaining and it made it very close. I mean, you can tell you're passionate about this movie and you really enjoy it. And you're probably the biggest defender of Paul Blart Mall Cop that I've seen. And that made it entertaining. But yeah, I just feel like it's funny. It's like Ray's opening argument is probably one of the worst opening arguments I've heard. Don't get mad, Ray.
Wow.
Don't get mad. Don't get mad, because I think your closing argument is arguably one of the best I've heard in this entire podcast. Yeah. I think it was very solid at the end. So, yeah. So with that being said, Ray has won this debate. So congratulations, Woo! Ray.
Man.
But listen, this was a very close debate. It was very enjoyable, I thought. Tyler, don't hate me too much.
I do. I can't.
Oh, well, it'll be fine.
Tyler, you did beat me last time, so we're even now.
I did. That's right. True.
I do want to say that I am 2-1 in the debates now.
I'm 2-1 as well.
No. If you count 2001, you're
Yeah, fine. If we count 2001, I'm 2-2.
I don't think we should count that, though. I feel like that's...
Yeah, I wasn't. That's why I was 2-1.
Yeah, it's kind of like a tangent. It's not, but it kind of is like it. Where there were guests, it was 2v2.
Right, yeah. But yeah, guys, I think it's been a very fun debate.
It's probably the funnest I've had in a debate.
Oh, yeah, it was a real fun time.
You're in Ray's interplay back and forth was really good.
Yeah.
I thought. Now, guys, real quick, have either of you seen the sequel to this movie? Because there is a second
one. I have.
I think it is really bad.
It's awful.
I don't remember it.
It's so bad, and it's like all the charm of this movie was just completely lost from that one.
You know, my thing with Paul Blart is that I wish that Adam Sandler's crew, like the guys that they're all the big friend group that's always in the movies together, I wish that they were in this movie.
I mean, that's fair, but I kind of like that. You know, for better or for worse, they gave Kevin James like a showcase. They gave him like, okay, this is your movie.
Yeah, so but I feel like if he's had his own, he's had a showcase prior to this, though.
I mean,
yeah.
And I will say that I do like this movie. So I actually do. I do enjoy this movie. I think it's really funny. But, you know, I don't think that Paul Blart, I really feel bad for the guy for most of the movie. And I know that's the point. But for me, it starts to become not as funny near the end of the movie because, like Ray said, it's a lot of fat jokes in this movie. It's a lot of fat jokes in this movie, and it would be one thing if, like, a part of Paul's character is that he grows from, like, being kind of, like, sarcastic and, like, a jerk to being someone who wants to do good at his job and is a nice guy. But as far as Paul's personality, he pretty much stays the same throughout the whole movie in the sense that he's such a lovable guy and such a nice guy, and he wants to do good at his job, so... When it's a lovable guy who you just feel bad for the whole time, getting made fun of for his weight the whole movie, it almost makes me feel bad for him more than I laugh. But like I said, I do enjoy this movie. And Tyler, I'm glad you brought up some lines like from the movie, like specific lines, because golly, those are funny.
Yeah,
there's some really funny lines to be picked out.
Not enough to win the writing round, apparently.
No, not enough for the writing round. But...
All right.
Well, so, to me, Paul Blart is like. It's kind of like I think that Kevin James and Adam Sandler are like an off-brand. I think, well, I don't even want to say it that way. I just want to say that, like, I've touched on it in the debate. I think that other comedies are more mature. I think that maybe when I was a kid, I probably laughed at this movie, but I just feel like my sense of humor is so much different now than it was then.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I don't find the same jokes funny. Like, I feel like Seth Rogen, I like every Seth Rogen comedy. I think they're all hilarious.
My thing with that is I will say that
I think they're more they're more raunchy.
See, that's the thing. I think that both of these movies, and you brought up that you want the humor to be more mature than this movie. I feel like both of the humor in this movie, as well as like the Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill movies, are both equally as immature. They're just one is more raunchy and mature, and then the other one is more like fart jokes and like fat joke immature. So I feel like they're both immature, but in different ways. And it just depends on which you find funnier, I guess.
And I want to say that when I was talking about the delivery of the lines with the actors earlier, you know, sometimes like Seth Rogen and them, they add a swear word to their line and it makes it funnier. You know, sometimes, swear words, yes, they're bad, but I mean, they make things funny sometimes.
I will say, and you know, I'm not sure if you guys know this, I'm sure you probably do, but since Seth Rogen and his creative partner, Evan Goldberg, like write a lot of the movies that Seth Rogen is in, he also co-writes the movies, and there's a lot of improvisation in those movies. So I feel like as improvisational comedians, like Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill are much better than Adam Sandler and his crew. Although I think both types of movies are equally as funny in different ways.
I feel like they don't have to try to be funny, whereas sometimes Adam Sandler and his crew are like always constantly trying to be funny.
Right, right. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And like sometimes these guys can just get in front of the camera and not even say like the two words and then have people in tears.
So guys, it has been a fun debate and we do have a story time, but before that, let's have a word from our sponsor. It is my time for story time today, and this story isn't going to be nearly as long as my police story, but I think it is equally as funny. So here we go. So this was about sophomore year in high school, and this new guy moved to school. You know, he moved from Lawrence County, and I will not say any names or give any indication as to who he might be.
Shame.
But let's just say that he was a very shady character.
Shame.
Now listen. Listen, he moved away halfway into the year. So he was literally in school with me at Boyd County for 2 9 weeks. So he wasn't there long, and I don't remember exactly where he went. I tried to avoid him after the events of the story took place. So I don't really know where he went or anything. But yeah, I'll just leave it at that for who this guy is. So I walk into the bathroom after lunch and one day. After eating lunch, and you know, I know neither of you guys went to Boyd County, but for anybody listening, this does go to Boyd County. You know, the cafeteria, you walk out and
school.
Right, right. So then you know that you go into the cafeteria, and then as you're walking out of the cafeteria, there's two bathrooms on the right side of the wall as you're walking down the hallway from the cafeteria. So I go in there to use the bathroom, and I try to avoid that because a lot of times the riffraff of Boyd County will go in there and they'll either fight each other over chew or I guess that's about it.
See, at my school, Luke, the biggest thing in the bathroom was vaping. All the kids were always in there.
Yeah, same here, vaping.
Yeah, Boyd County is like that, but the less classy version, I guess. Nothing wrong with chewing tobacco. Several of my friends do it. Not diss anybody for doing that. I will diss you for doing that if it is left in the sinks and the urinals and on the walls. That's when I'll diss you for it. But if you do it and don't destroy school property, that's fine. But anyway, so I'm in the bathroom, right? Just in the, you know, using the bathroom, and I hear something and it's very strange. So I'm sitting in the bathroom, you know, the door's locked and everything to the stall, obviously, and two guys walk in and I hear they're kind of talking and it's not really like bad conversation. Like you can tell they've talked before. And one of them is unrolling the tin foil and I can hear the tin foil being unraveled. And I know that it is a chicken sandwich under that tin foil because that's what we had for lunch that day. Side note, Boyd County Cafeteria, I don't know what it was, but their fried chicken, anything, their nuggets or chicken sandwiches were always solid. It's weird. I don't know how they
were. I used to love school lunch. I would literally go through the line two or three times. I had a pact with the lunch lady. She would look at the kids in the cafeteria who didn't use their lunch numbers, and she would let me.
Oh, okay. Well, wow. Yeah, like it's weird. Like some things are really bad and then some things are good, but the chicken was always good. So these chicken sandwiches were hot commodities. I'll just tell you that so you can kind of understand what happens next. So there, he's unraveling the chicken sandwich. I hear him go, "Dude, give me that." And I'm like, "What's going on?" You know, I stay quiet because I don't want them to know I'm in. I don't want them to know I'm in here. I don't think they know I'm in here. So they're getting mad, but of course the bell's about to ring, so I have to go. So I flush toilet and I leave the stall and I'm walking out and I'm trying to like not make eye contact and walk out because I can tell they're about to argue over this chicken sandwich. So I'm trying to get to the door. And the one guy recognized me and goes, "Hey, Luke, get over here." And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. I really don't want to do this right now. So I'm like, "Hey guys, what's going on?" And he's like, "Listen, here." And he just thrust the chicken sandwich into my hand. He goes, "Here, take the chicken sandwich." And I'm like, "Okay." And he goes, "Okay, Now give it to one of us. And I say, okay, guys, listen, I don't want to do this right now. You have to promise me that you won't try to swing on me. The person that I don't give the chicken sandwich to won't try to swing on me. and the one guy goes, to paraphrase, he goes, yeah, bro, I'm telling you, we will not do that to you. Totally unbiased. I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking in my head, this is a lot of work just for a chicken sandwich. Well, you should
have just put the chicken sandwich on the floor and walked out.
I should have, but then they both would have ganged up on me.
No. You should have done the ultimate alpha move, Luke, and took it for yourself and just walked out.
You should have hated it, Luke.
That would have been really
funny. You have to think about alpha moves, Luke.
But here's the thing. So I didn't do those things that you said. I was still standing there kind of awkwardly. And I hand it to the guy that I know, right? The guy that I told you moved from Lawrence County, because I know him more. And I'm like, I'm really sorry. Here you go. And before I can even walk out the door, the other guy goes, what the F? And he walks over and he just slugs the dude in the face, right?
What?
So I'm like, the bell has already rang, but, you know, it's time for a show, right? So I just kind of sit back and I'm like, what's going to happen? Are these guys really going to fight over a chicken sandwich? So the guy who gets punched, I'm trying to think of a scene. You remember, like, you know, in a movie when, like, someone punches, like, either the main character or the main villain, and they barely flinch, and they look at him mad, and the person who punched him is like, I really just messed up. Yeah, well, that's essentially what happened. He punched the dude, and the guy hardly was fazed, right? And I'm talking, this guy slugged him in the jaw, and he hardly moved. He hardly moved.
He hit John Wick in the face, didn't he?
He hardly moved, and he said, you effed up now. And he takes the chicken sandwich and just throws it to the side and it gets on the floor. And he just proceeds to, which the whole point of this fight was the chicken sandwich. And I guess he was so mad that he just forgot what they were fighting about and just chucked it away. So no one ate the chicken sandwich. It's $1.50 wasted
of chicken sandwich. That's hilarious.
And he just starts absolutely wailing on the dude. I mean, like, it's brutal. Like, he's bleeding from his nose. It's bad. He's getting completely just pummeled by the guy.
And so Luke does nothing to break it up.
No, listen. I'm worried.
Ray, do you think Luke is going to break any fight up?
Listen. Okay, I'm confused. But I'm just like, what the heck's happening? So I try to pull him off. I try to pull the guy off of him, and he stiff arms me and pushes me back to the floor. And I'm like, I gotta go get somebody. So I go get the principal. So it's like,
Let that guy beat him down until you went and got the principal?
Well, here's the thing, though, is that, like I said, the cafeteria was right there. So, and they sat at this table right there to monitor the cafeteria. I literally just kind of stuck my head out and said, I need some people to come here. I could have been more specific.
Hilarious.
I was like, I need somebody to come on. Right now. So they start running. So, I mean, like, literally, the assistant principal and the main principal start running in there. And I'm just like, okay, this is getting out of hand. So I just kind of leave. I walk away. So it turns out that the guy who was getting beat up over the chicken sandwich missed school for 3 weeks because of that.
That was absolutely so funny.
I mean, he was beat so bad. Maybe that's why the guy from Lawrence County left, if I'm being honest with you. That might be why he left. But, I mean, it's the craziest thing ever. And, you know, I've watched several fights in my days in high school, and that was probably the most intense. And it was over the dumbest thing. Normally it's over a dude who's like, bro, you had sex with my girl. Shut the freak up. No, man. She don't like you no more. That's why she had sex with me. And then they fight. It's normally over a girl or rumors being spread. But no, this was over a chicken sandwich.
I saw many fights in my days at school. Many, many.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I only saw a few.
Probably too many.
I'll be honest. Like, if I'm in the bathroom and a fight's happening, unless it's getting really out of hand, like if it's just two guys kind of just like bumping into each other, which is what most fights are. By the way, this was way more. That's why I was so taken aback by this fight, because it was more intense. But the usual fight, hardly anybody got hurt. So I kind of like watched. And then as soon as the principal's coming, I kind of bolted.
This sounds kind of bad, but when it's happening, I live for it. Like, I'm the antagonist. I'm the guy that's always agging it on. Like, I'm always trying to get – I won't, like, start the fight. I won't get somebody to fight somebody. But, like, when it's happening, like, hopping it up. Like, I'm there for it.
I've never been in one, but, I mean, it is kind of fun to watch sometimes. But this kind of went from, like, haha, they're fighting over chicken sandwich to, holy cow, this guy's getting pummeled.
Holy cow, this guy's about to die.
No, dude, like, he required multiple stitches, like, on his face. Like, I mean, it was bad.
So and at that no is, point the is, guy was like, I'm going to stop beating this guy to death over a chicken sandwich.
No, he just, I mean, golly, dude, it was insane. So, yeah. So, again, this wasn't as long as my police story, but I feel like it was pretty entertaining. So that is my
I think
story.
It was more entertaining than
I think it was more. I love that one.
This was the first time I've heard this one.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I loved it.
Well, all right.
Thank you. Remember at the theaters when we used to work Mondays and Wednesday nights closed every night together for months straight?
I'm gonna miss that so much.
Those were the days, the golden
days.
Doesn't
have to end, Luke.
I know.
Does not have
to end.
What'd you
say? It has to end for now. I'll potentially be back in the future, but for now, it has to end.
You're not coming back, Luke.
I might come back.
Tyler will come back for probably about a year, and I'll be the last one that's stuck with George and probably
Ray, you're gonna own the place by the time it's over.
Yeah. That's not in my plans.
Right. But moving on from that, we hope you have enjoyed this episode. Well, unfortunately, I lost again. But
and Ray comes out with a dub, two in a row.
Yeah. But I thought it was a really fun episode. We hope you all have enjoyed it as well. If you would like to see more from the Cinder Rose podcast, you can subscribe to us if you're watching on YouTube or follow us on any of our social media platforms to be updated whenever we drop a new episode on an audio platform. You can follow us at CineBrosP on Twitter, CineBros Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And if you're on Reddit, we have our own subreddit at r/CineBrosPodcast. Anyone have anything else to say?
I have joined the Reddit gang, everyone.
Yes, finally.
I'll talk to Tyler and Luke more about that, about, you know, posting on there with you guys. But I'll let Luke say what he was about to say.
Right, so... Again, make sure to keep track of our reminders. Our podcast episodes come out on midnights on Friday, so be on the lookout for that. And Tyler pretty much delved into that very well. And also, remember my series 5-minute movie reviews. My Reservoir Dogs review just hit over 300 viewers on YouTube, which is amazing. I'm so incredibly blessed. Thank you all so much for the support and watching all of my videos and the podcast episodes. We really appreciate the support. Of course, our new episode will be out on Monday, so be on the lookout for that. And of course, follow me on Instagram at 5-minute movie reviews. It is literally just 5-minute movie reviews with underscores in between each word, and that is my Instagram handle. And I'll hand it back over to Tyler to close this out.
All right, and with that, we will see you in the next one. Bye.